Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, we have some readings, like many of the readings during Lent, that really show who we are humanly, how weak we are, how many things we latch onto to try and exalt ourselves and to find value and worth by putting other people down. All kinds of things that we do. We keep fighting to be acceptable when, in fact, God has already accepted us. He accepted us in baptism. He loves us infinitely. He desires us to follow him because he wants to be with us. Do you understand that? God wants a relationship with us. He doesn't hold up a sheet of paper and make little check marks. You did this, you did this, you did this, you didn't do this, you should have done that. He doesn't do that. He loves you, and he wants you to be more like him so that it becomes apparent to others that you belong to God, that God is your Father, that Jesus is your brother and your Savior. Really, God wants to bring you into his family. So let's take a look at these readings with that in mind. The first reading is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. The people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem said, "Come, let us contrive a plot against Jeremiah. It will not mean the loss of instruction from the priests, nor of counsel from the wise, nor of messages from the prophets. So let us destroy him by a tongue. Let us carefully note his every word. Let us get rid of this one prophet." Why? Because this one prophet happened to be a very powerful prophet. He had great gifts because he so submitted himself to God. And when he spoke, he challenged them. He convicted them, and they didn't like that. They wanted to hear from the prophets all kinds of nice things. You're going to conquer your enemies. You're going to be this. You're going to do that. You will be given this, and so on. Our pride just balloons because we want all these things. We want prestige and power. We want popularity. We want people to notice us. So Jeremiah comes along, and Jeremiah tells them what God really wants them to hear. And they hate him for that. They hate him because he's exposing their own duplicity. He's exposing their misplaced priorities. And they don't like that. And what happens, brothers and sisters, when we don't like what somebody's trying to say about us? We try to take them down, don't we? Sometimes by false rumors, sometimes by out-and-out lies. We try to destroy another because they challenge us, because they call us to a path that we don't want to sacrifice for. So instead of just walking away, we're going to take the messenger down too. We do that all the time. God brings a word to us through somebody, and we start taking issue with the person rather than with the message. The prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 18 to 20. The people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem said, "Come, let us contrive a plot against Jeremiah. It will not mean the loss of instruction from the priests, nor of counsel from the wise, nor of messengers from the prophets. We'll just get rid of Jeremiah. We won't be deprived. We'll get all the teaching we need, and we'll get the prophetic word and the messages and the counsel from the wise. We'll still have them. So let's destroy him by his own tongue. Let us carefully note his every word." Why were they so angry with him? Because he saw in them the hypocrisy, and he called it. They didn't like that. And the second part of that passage is now Jeremiah's prayer when he hears their attempt to kill him. "Heed me, O Lord, and listen to what my adversaries say. Must good be repaid with evil, that they should dig a pit to take my life? Must good be repaid with evil, that they should dig a pit to take my life?" They would dig pits and throw you down, and you'd die of thirst or starvation. Remember that I stood before you to speak in their behalf, to turn away your wrath from them. Lord, remember how much I've prayed for them. Lord, remember that I prayed for their good. Please help me, Lord. Jeremiah doesn't get all bent out of shape. He doesn't back and attack. He'll be angry enough with them, but he doesn't go back to retaliate. He goes to the Lord. He says, Lord, I've tried, really tried to serve them. And their hearts are hardened. They refuse. Psalm 31, save me, O Lord, in your kindness. You will free me from the snare they set for me, for you are my refuge. Into your hands I commend my spirit. You will redeem me, O Lord, O faithful God. I hear the whispers of the crowd that frighten me from every side as they consult together against me, plotting to take my life. Prophets run that risk. You know, when you say things people don't want to hear and they genuinely are from the Lord, what usually happens is people take it out on the prophet. And the prophet is only the messenger. I hear the whisper crowd. They frighten me from every side as they consult together against me, plotting to take my life. Now look here again. But my trust is in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me from the clutches of my enemies and my persecutors. Save me. Where does Jeremiah go? He doesn't go out and plead with them. He doesn't try to convince them. He doesn't attack them. He goes to the Lord. He says, Lord, my trust is in you. You are my God. In your hands is my destiny. Rescue me. Simple prayer, clear, straightforward. It's not complaining. It's just giving God the circumstances. Please hear my prayer. That's how we should go to God. Because God knows what we most need. Sometimes we don't exactly ask for the things we should be asking for. We ask for all their ancillary things, but we don't often get to the heart of the matter, and God wants to get us to the heart of the matter. Always ask him, Lord, what do you see? I'm partially blind. What do you see? What do you hear? Help me. Help me, Lord. And the gospel is Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 to 28. As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on the way. So while they're walking, he took the 12 aside. And he says, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death and hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day. Jesus is telling them who he is more clearly. He's telling them what is about to happen. He's telling them that he will be scourged and crucified and he will be raised on the third day. He's sharing with them some intimate knowledge. What happens? Here they are walking along. Jesus shares with them the deepest in his heart, that which is deepest in his heart. He shares. But the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus right then with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she answered him, command that these two sons of mine sit one at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. Jesus said in reply, you do not know what you are asking. In other words, if they're going to be in my kingdom, it is a kingdom of suffering. Brothers and sisters, we need to know that. We need not be surprised by suffering. It's part of the call. You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink? He knows what chalice he's going to drink. He knows what lies ahead for him. The horrific suffering, torture, death. And they said to him, we can. Sure, we want to be with you. Sure, we can work hard. They have no clue what they're saying. And he replied, My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, that is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. What are you doing pushing yourselves in there and getting your mother to ask if you could have a place at his right and his left? So they get angry with him too. And they became indignant at the two brothers. Probably some of that indignation is coming from, what do you mean you ask? I was going to ask, or I expected, or I hoped for. You got in there ahead of me, so they're mad. They're angry. Such a human, selfish, a very selfishly human response. But Jesus summoned them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Hear this, brothers and sisters. You don't hold on to positions of authority like the high and the mighty. Any position of authority is also a call to serve. It's not a call to sit back and have everybody serve you. It's a call to serve, to unify, to bring together whatever it is you have responsibility for. When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be the first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Brothers and sisters, each and every Christian has to personally decide that if I call myself a disciple, that I can't take the first place, that if I am going to be a disciple, I should be willing to embrace the suffering that goes with it. I don't look for title and privileges and places of honor. I look to serve. Brothers and sisters, this is a complete upside down, inside out view from the world's view. If you have a place of honor, you can lord it over everybody. You can ask for particular benefits, shall we say. You gather around you a close group of people who will be your yes people, not always, but often. And you consider yourself influential with power and authority. But look how Jesus serves. Look how he does. How does Jesus serve? How does Jesus fulfill his role of authority? He serves. He gives himself. May we do the same in return. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.